Congratulations. This is such a delightful album. How was it to put this together?
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to hear that people are listening and liking what they hear, because as you probably know, that's never a guarantee. Sometimes we write music and people say, hey, this is great. And other times there's just like, no pun intended, there's radio silence. So yeah, putting together the album has been a really long process. It's kind of a funny story. When I was an undergrad, I was a composition major and I was putting together my senior thesis, and I presented my composition professor with a draft of a song that later became part of this project. And he listened in stunned silence and and told me to go back to the drawing board. He really didn't like what I was doing, and I thought, you know, at the time I was 20, so I thought, oh shoot, I need to, you know, I need to revise what I'm doing. So I picked up on an entirely different project, and I didn't come back to this until about 2013, when I decided, damn it, I wanted to go back and work on some of the remaining poems. And at that same time, I had started working with Oracle Hysterical, and we had been approached by this Baroque group, New Vintage Baroque. They wanted us to write a song cycle, and Oracle was aware that I had been working on these Shakespeare poems, and we thought that might be the perfect project for a Baroque group to pull off. So they asked if they could potentially insinuate themselves into the compositional process. At that point, I had written about 6 of the 20 poems, and then we, as a group, finished off the remainder. So I think each of us took somewhere between 2 and 6 of the pieces, and I also had help from them with my arrangements for the Baroque group, since I am no expert in Baroque instrumentation. But fortunately, Doug Balliot, as you well know, is, and he's the link between Oracle Hysterical and New Vintage Baroque as a player of the viola da gamba.
You know, I imagine that there's sort of some thought to an album and live performance. You know, track 8, the When Is Thine Eye, and the last track, Good Night, Good Rest, to me are the only ones that sort of seem like they might have some fiddling around, and maybe that's just my ear going, maybe it's not processed, or maybe it is processed, I'm not sure. But everything else sort of, you know, sort of seems to play by the rules that it would make a really evening, a great evening length, or a great sort of set to catch at, you know, Poisson Rouge or somewhere, or, you know, somewhere awesome in San Francisco, that that it seems like there's a great performance level in it. But at the same time, I think maybe did you guys play around at all with electronics or sort of processing?
We did, and you're right to pick up on that in When As Thine Eye. I think that was the most experimental track on the album. That is, of course, Doug Balliot's. And he recorded in triplicate his own voice for the recording on the album. And when we perform it live, we've turned it into a trio that involves me and Elliot and Doug all singing together, and we slap a little reverb on it when we do it live. And it takes a little bit of practice, because Doug also has this really peculiar and lovely way of speaking, and we want to recreate, you know, the uniqueness of that strange accent, and to kind of capture the lilt of the recording. The other thing that we do live that I really never believed we would is the double version of the name is escaping me, If Music and Sweet Poetry Agree. So Doug wrote 2 separate pieces, and one is for Elliot, and it's this kind of like upbeat jangly tune, and then a sort of sweeter arrhythmic piece for me. They're set to exactly the same lyrics, and they're meant to be played on top of one another. And when we went to perform this live back in January at National Sawdust, I said, absolutely no, I'm not doing this. It will not work out. And the rest of the band said, of course we're doing it. We have to perform it live. And thanks to our amazing gamba player, Lauren Ludwig, who lives down in Baltimore. Lauren figured out how to track these two songs together. So they're set in completely different tempi, so there's really no way, I thought, to accurately begin and end them in sync. But Lauren figured out this sort of like 2+2+6+2+1 kind of scenario where he was following the beats of Elliot's band and cueing me the beats of my song. I'm not explaining this well at all, but it seemed like an impossible thing. We totally pulled it off. I never would have believed it. And it turns out that is something we can do live. The other thing that we do for our live show is perform it with percussion. On the album, Elliot plays the cajon, and that is the only percussion that we have on the album. But in our live show, we play with Dylan Green, who is a young percussionist who just graduated from Bard. And it is such a delight to have a really great drummer playing with us, because we bring him into scenarios all the time now with classical musicians, and they just love having a beat. It's not something they're necessarily used to. And we just did a project with a Far Cry up in Boston, and you know, brought Dylan along, and everyone just raved about how nice it was to have this continual beat. You know, you don't have to find it as a group so much as conform to the beat that Dylan is laying down. So we've added not a lot of percussion on the album because the songs are pretty delicate, but we do use cajon, and we use some jangly keys and bells, and just a little bit of snare from time to time. It adds a lot.
It does. The Passionate Program is out, and it's just a lovely recording.
Thank you so much, John. It's really great to talk to you.